Going to go ahead and get started. One of our members is absent. The other is running a few minutes late, but in the interest of time, we'll go ahead and get through some of the formalities before she arrives. My quick introduction here. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. My name is Grant Rosenberg. I am chair of BZA. I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are the other members of the BZA. Tables across the room are city staff members, and the meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the table near the entrance. Pursuant to BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order: staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, the motion, second, discussion among board members, and then the vote. Members of the public may address the board, and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except the chair may allow 2 minutes the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. Board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record. Appeals of BZA decisions are made to the Knoxville City Council. The petition for such an appeal shall be filed with the Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days from the date of BZA's decision. I'll now ask Ms. Scobie to call the roll.
Christina Bowler.
Here.
Daniel Odle.
Here.
Grant Rosenberg.
Here. Okay. First item on the agenda are the minutes from the April 18th meeting. Have a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion, a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Go ahead and get started. First item of new business is item 5-A-23-VA, John Holmes, 2230 Laurel Avenue. Please come to the podium. While he's coming to the podium, I'll ask the staff if they have additional comments.
She does.
Okay.
I'll provide a little additional context. This property is in the mixed-use special district of the Central City Sector Plan. An emphasis of that special district is that design and scale of the building should be complementary to the surrounding neighborhood. It's also part of the adopted Fort Sanders Small Area Plan, which also emphasizes thinking about higher density development at the edges rather than in the middle of the neighborhoods. And this particular neighborhood was part of what was hoped to be pursued as a conservation district that hasn't happened yet. That was certainly a consideration of the community and a wish at the time that it was adopted.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you. John Holmes, 5914 Gray Gables Drive. So this project is, there's an existing house there that's condemned, that's been condemned since about 2015. The survey shows there the existing setbacks are about 1 foot from the property line on the 23rd Street side and about 7.5 feet on the east side. If you can go down to the next. So this is the existing land use. Most everything is multifamily in the area already. Can you go up to one more? Okay, this is the proposed site plan for the project. Most of the variances have to do with the driveways to make sure we have plenty of parking. I think everybody knows parking is like basically very critical in Fort Sanders. There's not enough, and more gets removed every day. It's also a very steep lot, so there's 22 feet of elevation change from Laurel Avenue to the alley. So it's extremely steep. And to get the parking, we need to have driveways and garages on that side and can kind of slope them away to 23rd. The setback on the lower portion of the page, the closest is 5 foot on the 23rd Street side. That's on that right-hand corner. And the reasoning for that is to try to get some additional parking off of the alley. So we need to have that 5 foot on either side. There will be additional space in the right of way. So there's an 8.5-foot section there. Then there's a 5-foot sidewalk and a 2-foot curb. So when you look at to the curb, to the face of the building, you've actually got 20 feet, 20.5 feet. So even though it looks like a 5-foot setback, there's a lot of space between the street and the building. On the rear side, there's also a 5-foot setback on that right-hand side. Again, that's to try to get parking off the alley there. With the current design standards, we can only put 2, but if we can get 5-foot there, we can kind of cantilever the building and get additional parking. The other parts of the building are anywhere from a 9.5 to 6.5-foot setback, and that's to have some variation in the building. The parts that bump out there where the garages are actually going to be gables. And then the other parts of the building will kind of inset to have some, give the design some character. Be a lot of brick construction with hardy siding to complement it. And I said the main hardship is it is a small lot. It's a very steep lot. It said 22 foot of elevation change over 160 feet. It's a larger lot than most of the ones in Fort Sanders. It's 160 foot deep instead of 150. And then the last variance was the number of units. Currently, the zoning allows 4 units. Would like to do 6 units. It's actually a decrease in density in the number of bedrooms. I think it's better to have a smaller unit with more of them versus 8-10 bedroom houses that people are building. So that's all I've got.
Thank you. I have a Ms. Alice Spasler signed up to speak for this item.
Alice Spasler. 2017 Ponderosa Lane.
Andy Basler, 2017 Ponderosa Lane.
We represent 7 owners that object to the size and scale of this project. This is an extremely busy corner. 23rd is an exit for all the apartments on Grand. So a lot of cars travel up and down the hill daily. Cars are already parking up the sides of 23rd. So the addition of 4 driveways exiting onto 23rd would be extremely dangerous. Cars pulling in and out on the hill. That street, 23rd, Laurel, Highland, those are all still houses. There's very little multifamily on those blocks. We think that the size and scale of the project is out of character for that corner. And the owners up to the side, the back, the other side, and to the front all object to the size of this project.
Thank you.
I just want to point out there's a house sitting there right now. Why can't we build on it? Why do you have to ask for variances? I think this is more for economic benefit.
Thank you. Mr. Holmes, you have an opportunity for rebuttal.
So to their point about the existing house could be rebuilt upon. In that case, the side setbacks would not be needed. The existing garage that's there is non-conforming. It would have to have variances for the driveways either way. As for the density of the street, I agree. People are parking on the street illegally all through there. But having a proper engineered driveway with curbing is going to deter and stop that from people parking illegally on that whole side, because they do park up there on both sides of the street and all the way up. And then the other piece is, if you'll go to page 9, the majority of the properties in this area are multifamily. So it's not out of character necessarily with the scale and what's already existing. The building right across the street is significantly larger from that. There's one property 2 over up on Laurel that the Bazzers actually own that's in the same situation there. So it's not really out of character with the other properties in the neighborhood. The height zoning and everything else would meet existing, the height requirements would all meet existing zoning. So it is limited to 35 foot. I'm not asking for variances for lot coverage to build anything larger than is allowed. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I will open up for questions, comments from the board.
Can the staff comment on whether that parallel parking there is illegal?
Talking about staff or parking on the street?
Yeah, street parking, sorry.
I'm going to rely on our engineering team.
Okay.
It doesn't appear to be striped. I don't know if that necessarily makes it illegal or not. It's not signed as no parking. So I know there's lots of places around town where it's legal to park in unstriped spaces.
There's just one thought is, with all those driveways, you're forfeiting quite a bit of street parking by adding those in.
If I can answer that, kind of there's a steep gully right there between the road and the property. So it's, you can kind of park, but you're half on the road. There's probably a 4 foot elevation change between the road and where it's kind of like a drainage ditch through there. Probably seen on street view.
John, I got a question for you, if you can. I don't understand what the hardship in this case with the topography has to do with several of your variances. It's, you know, we are looking for hardships related to the land, which you know, right. Dirt. But a lot of this to me is just about size of the structure that you're going to build back, which is not really related to the hardship quoted. How do you reconcile that?
Sure. So, I mean, the hardship is the steepness of the property. And if there's another drawing a little further back in the package that shows how significantly the elevation changes, that one right there, number 11. So off of the alley, the grade changes probably 9 feet and about 20 feet. So it's really not very feasible to put parking off the alley. And then as that grade changes up towards Laurel Avenue, it kind of flattens out a little bit to where you can work with the grade and you can have driveways that slope off to 23rd, but that's the only place to put them. You can't put them on front of the property, that's not allowed. So they really have to go in that one section right there. It's about 40 foot off of the of Laurel Avenue. And that's where you can get a flat enough section to get garages and parking.
You're showing two alley parking spaces right now.
We think if we can put a retaining wall in there, it's possible to get two additional spaces off the alley, but you basically have to have a tall retaining wall on three sides. And with the angles requirements from engineering, it's very limited what can be done. As I said, there's 22 feet of elevation change there. It's not a little bit, it's a lot.
That's it. I think that's the city question about just a clarification about your comments. Were you trying to say that the city's encouraging more density on the outskirts, on the edge, or you're talking more the edge of the actual district itself?
the edge of this neighborhood is what the emphasis is in the mixed-use special district. It also talks about preserving the historical quality of the neighborhood while still maintaining opportunities to revitalize the area. Design and scale of the building should be complementary to the surrounding neighborhood.
Thank you. Yeah, my concern with this particular case is we have an existing house there. I'm struggling to understand the hardship. Anytime we see six variances, it's the red flag and requires us to dig a little deeper. And you know, whenever I see this many variances, I wonder, okay, why couldn't this just be rezoned? Or it's obviously in conflict with the comprehensive plan for development, which are part of our standards for a variance.
So to answer that, it's not in the historic overlay. The property is condemned. The one-year plan is mixed-use development. So mixed-use has a higher intensity than even what this is. So one option is to look at rezoning. Some of those variances will still be needed regardless for the driveways primarily, but it would result in even higher density than what I'm proposing.
Again, I just go back to minimum adjustment necessary.
Yeah.
I can understand that a property like this may need variances. We've granted several variances in this district for you in particular. We've granted variances in the past. This one in particular, given the multitude of variances, and it is out of character with the current street. I understand there's a lot of multifamily that's popped up in the area, but I think that's something the comprehensive plan is trying to address as well. So personally, that gives me some caution in approving this. I'm gonna vote to deny.
I agree on this one. It's just overbuilt. It's too much on this one lot. And from a just general statement, but the minimum adjustment necessary is important in terms of the overall context of what we do and what we are responsible for looking at. And this one is not a minimum adjustment by any stretch to be able to utilize the property. And so from that standpoint, I'm gonna be opposed to this one as well.
Okay. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we deny 5A23BA due to lack of hardship.
I'll second that.
Motion on the floor, second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you. Next item, 5-B-23-VA, Thomas Burdett, 1458 Wilson Road.
Hello, Thomas Burdett, 109 Clear Cove Court. I'm in Lenoir City. This is just one variance. I'm trying to move from 52.4 to 25. This is a hillside protected area. So the further back you go on this lot, it gets kind of steep. So I'm trying to reduce the amount of disturbance in that area and hopefully save some trees. From the front of the lot, we're still 25 feet off the property line. From the center of the road, we're 50 foot. So there's plenty of room for a turnaround. And if we can move it up, just a nice gentle, like 5 foot difference between the road and the garage. And the last thing is every house going east on this property is actually in front of the setback I'm trying to get.
Thank you. Anybody here? I'm sorry, I failed to ask staff for comments.
When no comments additional.
Okay, thank you. Is anybody here to speak in opposition to this variance? Okay, I'll turn things over to the board for questions and comments.
I don't have any comments or questions on this one. I'll make a motion to approve 5B23VA as it's submitted.
Second.
Presume based on topography?
Yes, based stated. On topography.
The motion is second on the floor. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Ayes have it. Next item, 5-C-23-VA, Thomas Burdett, 1452 Wilson Road. State your name and address for the record. Any comments from city staff?
No additional.
Thank you.
Thomas Burdett, 109 Clear Cove Court, Lenore City, Tennessee. Can I say ditto? Same thing?
You can.
Hillside protected area. I'm trying to limit the amount of
your apartments. Your hardship's the main thing we want to make sure is in the record.
Topographical.
Thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve this one as well. 5C23VA as submitted based on topography.
Okay.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you. All right. Next up is 5-D-23-VA. Eileen Blackhampton, 6919 Haverhill Drive. Any comments from city staff?
No additional comments.
Thank you. State your name and address for the record, please.
Eileen Louise Blackhampton. I reside at 6919 Haverhill Road, Knoxville, 37909.
Lisa, tell us about your hardship as it relates to this variance.
My husband and I purchased this house a little over 3 years ago. He passed away 2 years ago. When we purchased the house, it had a dilapidated privacy fence going around the yard, which is the brown area. We have a German Shepherd, and she can jump a 4-foot fence. The fence that was in there before I replaced it was a 6-foot fence. I have pictures of it being nasty and dilapidated, but anyhow, I live on a corner lot. My bedroom faces Wesley Road, which if you're familiar with the area, that's a pretty well-traveled area. My bedroom faces Wesley. My front door faces Haverhill Drive. So my address is on Haverhill Drive. And since all this came up, I've kind of walked around the neighborhood to see why my house was different from the other people in the area. And because I'm on a corner, had they moved my house around and had me facing Wesley, I wouldn't have a problem with the way my house is situated. But because my house is situated with my driveway on Haverhill, my bedroom faces Wesley. I don't have a regular bedroom door. It's sliding glass doors. So I have no privacy if there's no fence there. I kind of am a loss for words because when it all started, I had called Tim's Fencing out and they had given me an estimate while my husband was still alive so that we would know how much we needed to save up for. And at the time we couldn't afford it. And on their estimate, they never put anything about getting a permit or anything else that we would have to do. So of course, my neighbor's been financially helping me since my husband passed and I was saving all the money. And so the fence was so bad that my dog had put a hole in it and she was running the neighborhood when I didn't know it. So I had no choice but to go ahead and tear it down and replace it. It was never an issue from the prior owner. They never had complaints as far as I know of having this fence there. The purpose of not having a fence there is because it blocks traffic. Well, if you look at the pictures that I submitted when I took pictures, on that picture where the light pole is, the first picture, that's the next intersection. You can see from my house, when I'm sitting at the stop sign, you can see the next intersection. The speed bump that is not on that picture, it's on a different one. Okay, so do you want me to describe what these pictures are? You see the speed bump in the second picture down on the left? If you walked towards my house from that speed bump, you're walking right into my bedroom door. I mean, it's my bedroom. And I do not understand what the problem is, since there was already a 6-foot fence around there, and I pretty much took it down and put it back in the same area it was. So I'm asking for permission to leave my fence there. I mean, I don't know what else to say.
Thank you. Is there anybody here to speak in opposition to this variance?
Renee DePue, 6916 Haverhill Drive. And I'm not speaking in opposition, if that's okay. But in support, I've lived and owned the house across the street for over almost 21 years. The previous owner had the fence. I think the fence had been there for, the fence that she replaced has been there for over 20 years, and there's never been a complaint. I'm about improving neighborhoods and making things look better, and I think this is a huge improvement. I understand her situation and the privacy. She doesn't have two front yards. Her driveway is on Haverhill Drive. It's not on Wesley. I think to her point, if the house would have been situated differently, it probably wouldn't have been an issue. There have been zero accidents in this intersection since I've lived in the house for 21 years across the street. So I support her keeping the fence that she has worked really hard to save money for. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm not signed up to speak. Can I speak in favor of this? I'm sorry. I know this is unusual.
You have a very short period of time.
I'll be very quick. I've been Mullins, 550 West Main Street. As I understood what they're saying, the fence, there was already a 6-foot fence there. The dog tore a hole in it, and then she rebuilt it. And now she's asking for a variance. I'm just curious why 17C wouldn't apply. I mean, it was a non-conforming fence before, and then she tore it down and rebuilt it. Why a variance would be necessary if this was a pre-existing non-conforming use that would be allowed to be rebuilt at that point? And just somebody who's here a lot and have some questions, that would be, I may not have understood the facts, but that would be my question for the board here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would city staff like to address that question?
Was the previous fence transparent?
No. We treated this fence like we treat every sign or building, where if somebody actively makes the choice to remove it, then anything going back in has to comply, versus it being destroyed by an act of God, where it can be rebuilt.
Or act of dog breaking through the fence. Sorry.
Or versus maintaining the fence, which in this situation probably doesn't make sense, I understand. But if she had replaced pieces at a time, sure. It's one of those things.
Thanks.
Was this, I assume it was a notice of violation. Was it a result of a complaint? Was?
Yes.
I would say it's a funny shaped lot. And shape of lot is part of what we can consider. And this particular case, I think it's a valid consideration looking at the shape of the lot. I think the house being laid out like it is on the lot makes sense to me because of the shape. And the consequence of that was what she's describing on Wesley Avenue, and that the fence, it's certainly not causing any harm to anyone. And I think privacy is a just, I don't know if I want to call it a right, but a just benefit of being there and a result of the shape ultimately. I'd make a motion off of that.
Okay.
Sure.
Motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Motion to approve 5D23VA.
Second.
And we have a motion on a second. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you. Mr. Mullins is not permitted to send you an invoice for his services, by the way.
Who is that man? Thank you.
Okay, next up, 5-F-23-VA. Eric Reichenbach, hope I pronounced that correctly. 11068 Parkside Drive. Have Mr. Mullen signed up to speak to this. Any further comments from city staff?
Just that this is not a variance. It's a pre-existing non-conforming drive-through location, and they're looking to expand it. So the Board of Zoning Appeals is the authority for expansion of a pre-existing non-conforming. So that's what's before you.
We consider the same standards in these cases?
No, the standards that are laid out are in 17.1A1. They're listed A through H, and those the applicant completed those and provided them.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Mullins?
Yeah, Ben Mullins, 550 West Main Street, here for the applicant. I also have representatives of Chick-fil-A and the engineering firm here as well that can answer any technical questions. This is, you know, a little bit out of the ordinary. It's not a variance. We're not looking at your traditional hardships, site-specific constraints, things of that nature. What we're looking at is we have a legally existing non-conforming use. We have a drive-through that faces Heron Street, I believe it is. Heron's Nest, excuse me. So that's no longer allowed in the zoning ordinance. The way the drive-through is situated now is you have two lanes that come around as you're facing Parkside, as you go through the little outdoor ordering area, and then it kind of merges into one lane as it goes around the building towards the drive-through window. And if you've ever been out there, and if you've ever been out there anytime Chick-fil-A is during the their peak hours, traffic backs up. It's a bad location for traffic. Allowing us to actually expand that two lanes and let that go all the way around the building would really help with queuing and help with the traffic congestion that is in that area. And you know, there's, you know, we're not asking for any variances with regard to setbacks or anything. There's enough room to expand that without there being any variances necessary or needed. Not specifically related to this request, but there's also efforts at this location that this applicant to improve the intersection there with Heron's Nest and Parkside, and that the signalization there as well. That'll also address some of the traffic issues. So it's part of an overall fix to address all the traffic patterns that happen there, especially during peak hours. Non-conforming uses are allowed to exist. They are allowed to expand. The zoning ordinance for Knox County is listed, I believe, 8 standards, A through H, that speak to when an expansion should be allowed or may be allowed. We have, you see in your report, CEC in the April 26, 2023 letter has addressed all of those specifically. I don't think there's any question that there's enough room to do it, the expansion here. We can go through those and answer any specific questions, but I believe this is a circumstance where the expansion would be allowed and is probably needed in this location. So we would ask that you approve it. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone here speak in opposition to this expansion of a non-conforming use? Seeing none, any further questions, comments from our board? I'm going to go ahead and make a motion. We approve 5-F-23-VA based on the applicant's consideration of the steps in order to approve this expansion. And I don't see any issue. I don't see any negative impact. It's have improvements to traffic in the area. So
I'll second that.
We have a motion, a second. Any further discussion from the board? No, seeing none. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, moving on. 5G-23-VA, Michael Hicks, 2900 North Broadway. Any further comments from city staff?
No additional comments.
Thank you. Jakes?
Aye. Good afternoon. Oh man, my name is Michael Hicks. I'm representing Cookout with a Somatech in Raleigh, address 8312 Creedmoor Road 27613. Here tonight to respectfully request a maximum building setback variance along Edgewood Avenue, where we're proposing to do a new cookout. The existing use has been an abandoned bank building with a secondary drive-through teller building and ancillary parking. As you can see on the site plan, we're proposing a sit-down cookout building with also a drive-through lane with ancillary parking on the property as well. The property is as bounded by two right-of-ways. It's approximately 0.87 acres. And there is a 500-year floodplain that exists along 34% of the property, primarily along Edgewood Avenue. That is the overall, you know, first constraint to the maximum building setback being within that building, being within that floodplain. If we encroached closer into Edgewood, the building would be in that floodplain. Second to that, there's also perimeter 10-foot drainage and utility easements that surround the property along the rights of way as well. So on top of that, the 10-foot maximum building setback is encumbered also by existing easements along both right of ways. There's also topographic elements to the site that is, you know, in regards to ADA compliancy with our three entrances that are in within the building, and also the drive-through circulation warrants, you know, the placement of the building as proposed with this layout. If you have any further questions, I'd be glad to answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody here to speak in opposition to this variance?
I think the hardships listed on this one are pretty self-explanatory.
Oh, hi, I'm sorry.
You're fine. Go ahead.
Nick Gill, 3221 Clearview Street. So thank you for taking time to listen to me, Dave. I am here to oppose the variance appeal for 2900 North Broadway. I am a resident of the Edgewood neighborhood, which this will be adjacent to. I moved to this neighborhood with my wife and my two kids because of the fantastic walkability. There are parks, libraries, civic centers, and they're all easily accessible by pedestrians. And I enjoy walking with my young kids at, right next to this property towards the Fulton Greenway that's immediately adjacent to it. We've heard today about the hardship being the floodplain encroachment on the lot as a unique hardship that would deprive this owner of the reasonable use of their land. However, per your own rules, and forgive me for directly quoting them just for posterity's sake here, the variance should only be used where necessary to overcome some obstacle which is preventing an owner from using his property as the zoning ordinance intended. The zone in this case being CG2, which again, for clarity's sake, I will read out that says that the CG district is intended to promote mixed use development in a pedestrian oriented environment that recalls the city's traditional business districts. Unfortunately, the site plan that you have pulled up there submitted and would be made possible by the approval of this variance details a fairly pedestrian hostile design. By allowing the setback variance of that 21 feet, there'll be no pedestrian access to the building from Edgewood, which is the primary way anyone in the neighborhood would access this. In fact, the plans don't detail that it will be traversable at all from Edgewood. Though subject to change by KV as detailed on the plan, it shows a transformer would be located directly at the corner, halfway in that floodplain zone, which would be the most convenient access for pedestrians accessing that area. Complicating that is the decision to have the drive-through entrance on Edgewood rather than the major road of Broadway, forcing any pedestrians to wish to access this business to battle the drive-through traffic to cross safely. And though I admittedly, that's not part of this particular variance at stake today. Additionally, the current footprint of the lot is the archetypal example of the very development that CG requires and is intended to be used. There's an old bank building that does have pedestrian access on both. And it recalls directly that traditional business district that the CG is intended to fulfill. So this plan would represent a downgrade in pedestrian access, and it goes against the intended spirit of the CG zoning code. The variance would directly contravene the code and does not represent this property as zoning law intended. Furthermore, the floodplain doesn't actually represent an undue hardship. Nothing in the floodplain regs prevents building within said floodplain. In fact, just across the street adjacent to that is the Advanced Auto, which was built up ground up in this same floodplain. The entire lot is in the floodplain, and yet they built a pedestrian access to the building that meets the floodplain regulations as soon as 5 years ago. So Mr. Hicks and his clients could meet the setback requirements and provide pedestrian access with basic flood mitigations in the existing footprint by trying just a little harder instead of deviating from the stock cookout design plans. In my personal opinion, this variance is an end run around the CG code requirements, pedestrian access, an attempt to fit a square peg of an auto-oriented business into a round hole of a pedestrian-oriented lot. So CG zones are intended to provide a walkable environment, and while Brundoy doesn't meet that standard as a whole today, individual decisions like this today to start to transform the standards in this road to better and more pedestrian-oriented infrastructure. So I urge you to deny the appeal today. I do not oppose the cookout locating. I do hope, though, that Mr. Hicks and his team will return to the drawing board and design a building that meets the spirit of the code and commit to being good neighbors to everyone in the neighborhood. After all, I would love to walk to the park just up the from up the road and get a shake and a hot dog, but I would rather not do that by being hit by a car in a drive-in because I have no direct access. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Hicks, you have the opportunity for rebuttal.
Thank you. Yes, there are existing sidewalks along both right-of-ways, and we're actually improving sidewalks by discussions with staff at the preliminary meeting that we had in March. Some of the sidewalks are in pretty bad conditions, and so with removing the driveway along North Broadway, we're going to be improving the sidewalk along North Broadway, and as well along Edgewood to basically improve the pedestrian connectivity to neighborhoods behind us. And we do have internally, you know, there's access from parking areas to meander through the parking lot to get to the building, as long as pedestrian access along North Broadway to the building to serve from the public right of way. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll open things up for discussion from the board. I do have a question for Mr. Hicks about pedestrian access. I understand you're improving. There are existing sidewalks that will be improved, but yes. What about the neighborhood's concern about accessing directly from Edgewood into the establishment? Is that something y'all have considered or would consider?
If working with staff, you know, to provide a you know, because of topography, again, we'd have to do some switchback ramps to get up from the right of way from Edgewood up to the building. If that's what it takes to make, concerns.
How much elevation is there between
there? Edgewood there is ramps? About, I'd have to look, let me look at the plan real quick.
I'm looking at the picture. I used to live in this area. Pretty level there.
Yeah, but there is with the proposed grades because of all right, so we've got, let me look at this, I'm sorry. So the proposed grade of the building is approximately 941 and 937 is basically the back of the sidewalk. So to come up 4 feet or so across that run of approximately 35 feet, you know, to ensure that 2% and 5% slopes to get to the entrances there, we may need to do a switchback, but we could make a, you know, consideration there to provide a direct connection from Edgewood Avenue as well as North Broadway for the intent of the use.
Thank you. Can you speak to the hardship related to floodplain you know, you could raise the building to mitigate the floodplain. You speak to your hardship related to that.
Yeah, you know, if I'm not mistaken here with staff's, you know, to correct me, that there is a 1 foot freeboard requirement within the floodplain. So if we did that, we'd have to bring in more fill. And, you know, with tying in the grades again to the public rights away would make that sidewalk connectivity more cumbersome for pedestrians to get there, even as moving closer to the sidewalk itself would create that steepness of elevation. And really from a scale perspective would almost cast a shadow effect on pedestrian connectivity in close proximity to the building, to the street.
Maybe you all can explain to me a little better, but I don't, from a board standpoint, I don't completely understand the connectivity to Edgewood argument. I feel like there's a sidewalk that runs Edgewood to Broadway that goes around to the front of the building where you can walk in.
I think the argument is it's not as pedestrian friendly without having a direct connection from Edgewood to the building. I don't want to step too far out of the bounds of what this board can do.
Right.
We can't negotiate. I don't think we can. We can't put conditions upon our variance. You know, hey, you need to add an entrance in order to do that. I can understand. There are legitimate hardship constraints with this particular lot. Mm-hmm. Those can be mitigated. At the same time, mitigating one hardship creates another. Or creates another challenge with ADA access.
Yeah.
So it's almost like, well, you mitigate the floodplain hardship, you become less pedestrian friendly. Personally, I feel like there's a good compromise there where you find a way to have an access from Edgewood. I think that would satisfy some of the concerns we've heard from the neighborhood without having to mitigate the flood elevation. With that said, that's not necessarily within the purview of this board to negotiate, other than subtle encouragement. I'll entertain a motion or a further discussion from my board members.
I'll make a motion to approve 5G23VA as it's submitted. Based on the collective hardships that are listed herein, I think there's a valid argument for the variances that they're requesting.
Motion on the floor. Anyone want a second?
I'll make a second for the purposes of a discussion. I still have a question as far as the minimum adjustment necessary and the fact that it may not be in harmony with the rest of the area itself. So y'all hear me.
What do you mean by in harmony with the rest of the area?
Well, the ordinance itself, like the pedestrian argument, for me, I do feel like when we ask the question about whether or not there could be something done there, it seems that it could be, but I don't know from a technical standpoint or engineering for that matter standpoint, whether or not that could be addressed in a way that would be mutually beneficial for the neighborhood from a pedestrian standpoint, as well as what they're trying to accomplish with this. Like, I get that there are hardships, but is doing this the minimum adjustment necessary by going from 0 to 10 feet to 30.5? Like, does the hardship there justify?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean,
and I really don't know. If you think it does, please share.
I don't have where they've located their building maximizes the use of the site, I think, very well. I the elevation going up to the front door is still there. There's a lot of connectivity on the front of the building. And talking about a corner.
I'm finding
not,
this.
I just don't see the hardship. I don't see the hard part of not saying yes to this.
So there are no safety. No one noted any safety concerns on that either, right?
No. If you move this building around on the site, they're going to have to adjust their site plan, and you're either adding fill somewhere or, I'm not sure where else to put their building, and. I think this is a well thought through site plan in terms of how to make a weird corner lot with an alley, weird alley thing going on in the back, and the easements in the floodplain. The floodplain is just pushing, it wants to push the building up towards the street, but that's, you know, and that works with topography and the pedestrian easement access in my mind, not against it.
Comments?
I don't think it's outside the realm of our purview to consider the sidewalks in regard to the site plan, because we do have to consider whether the development is, and our granting of the variance allows the development to be in harmony with the ordinance. And so I think with that intent being the intent of this district to be walkable, connected, you know, bringing the building close to the sidewalk, I think it's fair to consider that connectivity. So I guess, I'm kind of torn about it because I do think that the floodplain is a legitimate hardship.
Is there not a way to, in between, like Rick said, like, I don't know, do we have?
But the connectivity is still there. That's what I'm having a hard understanding.
When we say connectivity, what do you mean?
We're only talking about the one corner.
But the main road itself, where Edgewood
and Broadway.
North Broadway is not very pedestrian friendly.
It's not
fair.
Neither.
I can certainly see where it would be nice if I lived in this neighborhood. It'd be nice to have access directly from Edgewood, as having not to go around through Broadway. I that's a legitimate. Again, this seems like a legitimate concession that the developer could make. Reasonable, not cost prohibitive. It would make this more in harmony with the comprehensive plan for the area.
I'm not sure.
With that said, what is precisely before us right now are legitimate. It is a legitimate hardship as well. So that's what I'm getting hung up. Christina is that one little piece that would make it a little more in harmony with the neighborhood. Again, I don't know.
They push the building out of the floodplain. That's a hardship. Correct. Why aren't we saying yes to that?
Because there are other elements to consider, like number four, which is granting any variance in harmony with the general purposes. And if there is a real concern, then I think that, is there a way to address that? Based off of the training.
Harmony, like we're talking about access. The building has access, it has to meet code. It has to be ADA. That's going to be governed by code.
I don't know. I could be wrong about this, but I don't know that they would have to do a ramp on that side. They may be able to just do stairs since the ADA accessibility is addressed elsewhere.
Was that a question for me?
He was asking whether we could ask the developer if he would consider adding pedestrian access to this site plan. Is that within our rights to do that?
Yes, because a lot of times we talk about like the parking aspect. Mm-hmm. You know, like in the past we'd say, well, have you considered talking to your neighbor to maybe get parking there? Have you considered these other mechanisms to make sure that this isn't a problem on this side? Even though you do have a hardship, we acknowledge that, but there are other means and other ways to achieve the same objective. It may be a little bit more costly and so forth. So in that same right, is it not an option to say, could we create that type of option on the site, given that that is the spirit of
or it will be more so in harmony with the ordinance for this purpose.
We're talking about pedestrian access?
Yes.
So this plan was not reviewed by our building department. The building code requires, if you're providing, if there are sidewalks on the property, you have to provide pedestrian access to the building per the building code. It's not a zoning thing. It's a building code thing.
You tell me that's already, it's already going to be required in building code.
Yeah. I'm sorry. What was that?
What you're saying is what we're talking about will already be required through the building permit process.
Yes.
Will it be required to Edgewood?
That is not the case. It would only require one access point.
Come off of Broadway.
It's,
and this has.
It's up to the developer where they provide that access.
So now we're dictating terms to developers, something to meet, to do something in addition to.
It isn't required by code. You're saying, yeah, that isn't required by code.
I don't know that I'm trying to, I don't know. I don't think anyone's trying to dictate that portion of it. I just wanted to address number four, which states that it does have to be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the ordinance. And someone pointed out that that's probably not the case. So we're just kind of talking it through. I don't want to dictate anything, but understanding how that can be problematic all the way on North Broadway and then the Edgewood concern, I just want to discuss it a little more. I think we all wanted to address that particularly. I just don't feel comfortable with that piece of it. So I enjoy the additional context as a providing because I want to make a good educated decision with all the context.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The hardship that exists, in my opinion, I would put the building in the same spot.
No. I don't think the building is a problem at all. I'm just talking about
The building isn't the problem. I think what's being disputed is the site plan.
Well, the building location, the variance request is about the building location. It's about getting it out of the floodplain. Access is a completely separate thing. That's it's not the same thing.
We've talked about, what about parking? But what about other things?
This particular variance, the building's moved because of the floodplain, and that's it. I feel like we're kind of outside of our purview there a little bit on this one, just my opinion.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I have a motion on the floor and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Motion fails. We need to make a motion. We would need to make a motion to deny at this point.
Correct.
Okay.
Motion to deny. G-23VA.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second to deny 5-G-23-VA. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
So this is not a granted variance?
It fails for lack of.
Correct.
Lack of possibility.
Yeah. That's correct.
Thank you very much. You have opportunity to appeal to City Council.
What was it failed for? What was the reasoning for failing it?
The affirmative vote of the majority of all Board of Zoning Appeals members is required for anything to pass. So in this case, there are 5 Board of Zoning Appeals members, so you need 3 votes for anything to be approved. And you were not successful in getting 3 votes. So that's the reason why it fails.
I'm trying to figure out the reasoning for denial.
Oh,
that's what I was trying to.
I think that the rationale that I heard, please correct me if I'm wrong, was that it was not in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the ordinance and will not in detrimental conflict with comprehensive plan for redevelopment. Is that correct based on our standards, number four?
Number four.
In our packet.
Okay.
Sure. Again, you have an opportunity to appeal this decision to City Council 15 days.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay. Item 5-H-23-VA, Aaron Pennington, 2126 Forest Avenue. Any comments from staff?
Yes, sir. Upon further review, we believe that the second variance is not required because of Article 17, Section 17.1A2, it would not be creating any additional variances. They wouldn't encroach any further into the side yard than what is already there.
So we just have a parking variance.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Springton.
Okay, perfect, thank you. I'm Aaron Pennington, 514 West Jackson Avenue. With Sanders Pace Architecture, I'm here representing the owner, SRJ Investments. So I'll walk through the site real quick and familiarize everybody with what's going on. So there's an existing structure that's part of the old produce district. That's one of the last remaining structures that's still on this street that used to be part of a pretty vibrant commercial area. So this structure is a one-story block building. You can kind of see in the center of the screen here. It's pulled back from the corner of 22nd and Forest. It fronts Forest Avenue and is about 50 feet wide and about 4,000 square feet. So this project will renovate and restore the existing commercial structure to create a mixed-use multi-tenant space. So we're looking at three tenant spaces. What's not shown on this that might be partially relevant to the discussion if the addition was being discussed was that the main building is kind of divided down the middle structurally. So it kind of sets up for these three sleeves that we're gonna eventually develop. So the zoning is IMU, as was mentioned. I guess the main point of me being up here today was that there's, I guess, a hardship that we recognize on this property that is the result of kind of the narrow size of the lot, which is about 86 feet wide, which is 50 of it is taken up by a building. And then the main hardship is the topography of the site. So diagonally across the site from the corner of Forest to 22nd up to the alley is about 16 foot of climb. And then just along 22nd Street is about 15 feet. So we did consider parking on this site in multiple places. The most logical place would be kind of the parallel 22nd Street, but with about 35 feet left over there, we had some kind of serious constraints without tearing down the existing building. As it gets to the back, the grade climbs even more steeply, and parking in the rear we saw as potentially compromising the existing building and result in a partial demolition. So the constructability of parking along the alley was given up on early. There's also, I'll point out, the residential zoning to the right-hand side of the screen here. Even though it's represented by a giant parking lot, it is zoned R and we are IMU, so we would have to set back from that property line significantly. So here asking for a variance reduction of parking from 10 required spaces for this building to zero provided. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you. Anybody here to speak in opposition to this variance? Seeing none, comments for the board?
I have a question. Where would the tenants park?
There's on-street parking that's along Forest, and people are using 22nd. Again, I'm not sure if that's a legal on-street parallel parking, but that's how the Forest is being used right now.
What type of tenants will be located in these spaces? Y'all have tenants identified yet?
We're still working on that. So the owner currently owns the 13th Street Market, and we're wanting to at least minimally extend his efforts to one of the tenant space down here. So unsure on the other two right now. So working on that.
I didn't fully understand the reason for abandoning the parallel parking. Can you clarify that again?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
The reason for abandoning the parallel parking on the side, what was that again?
So you're saying why would we not consider parallel parking on our property off the street?
I think that's, you said you had considered on 22nd.
We considered on the property, which would result in a one-way situation. So there would either be an entrance off of Forest and an exit onto the alley or vice versa. And given the constraints of that 35 foot wide zone, we didn't think we had the room for it. It would also result in a parking lot that I think is about a 9% grade, which my civil engineer tells us would not work.
And what's the parking? Is this part of the parking off of Forest Avenue?
It'd be street parking. That's a separate parcel. Let's see.
I think the existing building and topography are legitimate hardships.
I agree. I don't see any way to mitigate the hardship. It's there's no alternative way to parking on this existing site unless you were tear everything down and start from scratch. I'll make a motion to approve 5H23-VA based on hardship stated in the application.
Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That concludes our meeting. Thank you all for being here with us. See you all next month. Adjourned.